Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a beautiful morning to gather and worship the Lord again. Maybe we could pause for a word of prayer. Let's pray. Eternal Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness to us again today. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us this opportunity to come to worship you. Help us, Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Father, I do thank you for the assembly of the saints here. I pray, Lord, you bless each and every one of us. That your spirit, Lord, could come and minister to our hearts. Speak to where we have needs, Lord. Encourage us, Lord, those of us that are maybe downcast. I pray, Lord, exhort us, those of us that are leaning towards the arm of flesh. Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, Lord. Help us, Lord, to love you. Help us to love you and help us to display that love for you by the love we have for the brethren as well. And Father, I do want to just take a moment here, Lord, and we want to lift up those that are sorrowing this morning, Father, those that are full of sadness and heartache. Lord, I think of Melvin Yoder's family, Lord, as you've called Luke to go home with you. Lord, we just lift them up to you. We pray that you would give them courage, give them comfort, and give them strength. Fill their hearts with peace, Lord, through this time. I do pray you bless the congregation there, Lord, as they walk together with them in this way, Lord. Do also just pray for the lady, Lord, that lost her husband and several others. Lord, I just commit her to you and ask you to encourage her and keep her as well, Lord. So, Father, we thank you again for the opportunity we have here. Lord, help us to realize how fragile life is and to not take each other for granted, but rather, Lord, to pour our hearts out into each other's lives and invest in each other, Lord. And be there for one another to truly experience the power of God. And so, Father, we do thank you and ask you to be here. Bless the thoughts I have to share, Lord. I pray that your Spirit direct them, that your people be edified and you be glorified, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. This morning, I guess my thoughts were going on the brevity of life and just with a lot that seems like it's been happening in my small world of people that I know that have lost loved ones and so on. And so I was thinking of just how fragile life is. You know, Dan exhorted us this morning. He says, God extended our days. It's because of him that we're allowed to come here today. It's because of him we were allowed to wake up this morning. And he wants glory from our lives, you know. He didn't do it just so we could fulfill the our fleshly desires. He did it that we would glorify him in some way. Excuse me. And so I was encouraged with those thoughts. I was thinking how fragile life is. I was thinking of love. I was thinking of brotherhood. There's just a lot of scriptures I think I'm going to read today for us just to ponder. Excuse me. You know, love, thinking of the word love, to describe love, we can do it with a wordy definition, but I just want to encourage us with this thought that love is a choice. Love is a choice. Someone does something to you, you can react to it, or you can choose. Now I'm going to love that person. I know what he told me, that hurt. That really rubbed me the wrong way. But no, I'm going to choose to love that person. Because God, that's his kingdom. That's his attribute. That's what he wants That's the character He wants for me to come out of my life. And I was just pondering the thought of love. I choose, even if my feelings don't align, I will walk in truth towards them. Love, it's a choice. If you wait for your feelings to be just right, there's few people you will love. Because everything has to be just right before you can love somebody. But love is a choice. That's how we can forgive people. Jesus, it's in John 15, 12 through 14. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." There's no greater love than to lay our lives down for our friends, Scripture tells us. Jesus was that example for us. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times." I think it says, "A brother is born for adversity," something like that. And as I was just pondering love, brotherhood, I guess I was inspired last night listening to Brother Amos's message. He made the comment of running from pain. If we run from pain, your faith will fail you. And so I was just thinking of love, brotherhood, and sometimes the pain that comes with all that. You know, as we go through life, sometimes we face trials, and sometimes it feels like it's on every side. At times you just feel like you have this one mountain in front of you. And other times it feels like you have this mountain and you have all these other ones. You feel almost start to be crowded in. You face trials on every side. And you know, oftentimes during those times, there's a temptation will come. You can give up. You can just say, "What's the use anymore? Why?" You know, we're called to love our brother, but often in church life, trials of our faith, they come through those we love and are closest to. The challenges and struggles a lot of times we face, they come from those that we're closest to. Often they do. And many times, they're not even meant in the way they come, the way you receive them, the way I receive them. God is doing a work in us, because I think it's in 1 Peter 4. The verse just slipped my mind. Or maybe it's in James. The verse that talks about It's more precious than gold. Somebody know where that verse is? 1 Peter 1:7. Thank you. Yeah, if I just read my notes just a little further, it was right there. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I was just thinking of those trials that come in our life. God is wanting to do something in my heart and in each one of our hearts when we face trials. He's wanting to produce something that's valuable. You know, we put high value on gold, right? Everybody usually, if you'd have a bar of gold, you would say that's worth whatever it's worth. You know, it's of high value. If you was to work for that bar of gold, you would have worked a long time for it. So you put high value on, that's what our monetary system was always funded on, was gold. All our dollar bills, if I remember, I used to say this was backed by gold, but I don't think it does anymore. But there's a value on that. But God says here, in Peter, he says that it's more precious than gold. It's much more precious than gold. much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You know, we put value on that, but God is wanting something even more valuable than gold. He's wanting something in our lives that's more valuable than that. He wants to glorify Himself through a people that are submitted to Him. God wants to do that. It's more value. He puts more value on a people that exalt and glorify Him and are faithful to Him, even through trials, than He puts more value than even what we would on gold. Just thinking of when brothers hurt you, you react, you can say, that's just that brother. He's always that way. He's, you know, we can say various things. But I want to encourage us to not react, because when we do that, then this is what we start doing. We start avoiding that brother. We hold him at arm's length. We don't want to get too close to him because he's that brother. That's not loving our brother. Loving our brother is not that way. I was thinking of another thing that Amos said. It was his testimony he shared. And he shared the fact that that we shouldn't run from our pain, but we should embrace it and allow God to work something more precious than gold in your life. He shared the thought of not running from pain and embracing it. But, you know, let's embrace it, that God can work something deeper in our hearts and lives. It's more precious than gold. We face many times in life that we can be hurt, whether it's by our spouse, by our children, maybe children by your dad, or maybe it's in a brother-sister relationship in the church. Many opportunities there to be hurt. But, you know, as we go through these challenges and we face these fires, these trials, because we have to admit they're real, right? When you go through a trial, is it real to you, or is it just something, not a big deal, it's just things that happen? But in here, if you was to be real honest, would you say that that thing is real? That thing burns. That thing is, some days it just about tears me up. Oh, and then I got to fall on my face before God and say, ah, Lord, I don't want to look at that brother that way. I want to love that brother because that's what you do. You love that brother. It's for my good. Help me to see it. But sometimes we get to that place. If we're all honest, I think we can say we've gotten there, or I would say most of us can say we've hit a place like that. And we got to come back to God and say, God, help us. Help us. You bought his soul. You love him. I want to love him. And you've allowed him in my life, allowed her in my life to do this work. And not look at that individual as, oh, that brother's a pain. Oh, but look at that brother and say, God sent him. God sent him. And I'm going to love him. Because the last one embraces it and says, God, I'm going to let you do this work. And you know, we can add to that. We can say, God, be merciful when you do that work. We can ask for strength, but embrace it. Don't run from it. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting what God really wants for us. Another thing I've found in my life, I was just recently talking to my wife about it. I was thinking of sometimes when I feel fire, the fire of trials in my life, who gets the brunt of that? When we react, who gets the brunt of that if you're a family man? Some said your wife, your children, your wife, they get the brunt of that. What do they get? Sometimes you get a grumpy dad, just snappy. Why'd you do that? What? Can't you grow up? Why are you doing those comments? They hurt. But what we're doing is, those are just little counterfeit fires. Those little things there, they're just little counterfeits to get our minds off of the actual problem that we are encountering. We just start picking up all these other little things, and things just get worse. Instead of focusing on those little things, let's just look and say, God, this is in my life. for a reason. I don't understand it, and I for sure don't like it, but I'm going to embrace it to learn. I'm gonna embrace this. And then we can have a right heart, and I don't have to snap at my children. I don't have to snap at my wife. They don't have to carry the brunt of this because it's me. It's not that. It's not them. It's me. Let's not react. Let's not run from it. Let's embrace it. And let's be aware of the counterfeits that just pop up to distract us from really what is the issue. Where is my heart struggling at? I was just thinking of how fragile life is and thinking of brotherhood and how fragile life is. Luke Yoder, traveling home from work, I think they said he barely left 10 minutes, and they don't know for sure what happened. Assumption is that he fell asleep. But he crossed the median, went down to the bank on the other side. There's a log that was down. It wasn't on the floor, but it was down. And his Ranger went underneath that, took the cab off the truck. And they said if he'd have been buckled in, because they found him on the floorboards, if he'd have been buckled in, they said it had decapitated him. But that's 10 minutes. I don't know what all took place at his day at work that day. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know what happened at work. Did he have a good day? Did he have a rough day? Did he have words with someone? Or was he just pleasant and everybody has this beautiful memory? Or was there some conflict? My focus isn't on the one who's gone on before us. My focus is on those of us now that live with the memory. Oh, my last memory was I yelled at him for something. My last memory was, just can't stand him. Glad he's going home. Life is fragile. We're not promised tomorrow, friends. You're not even promised to stand up here today and walk out. People die of heart attacks. You're not promised to make it home today. Life is fragile. And so my encouragement to us is that we would love the brotherhood. That these things that come up that we want to wrestle with, maybe there are brothers that are a bit more on the crude side. That's okay. Because God has good in those brothers for me too. In 1 Peter, verse 22, I'll read that verse. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Pure, of an uncertain affinity. Unfeigned, it's sincere. When you think of something fervent, you think of something on fire. You just take those few words right there. Sincere. Unfeigned is sincere. A sincere love. A pure love. One that's impartial. One that... excuse me, could I get a glass of water? One that's impartial, one that doesn't have respect of persons. It's not haphazard or unconcerned. It has the other's best interest in mind. Holy, impartial, not favoring rich or poor, weak or strong. Having a pure heart. When we do that, we can receive admonition. We can receive correction. We can also give it because of a pure heart. Thank you. You You know, our hearts, the scripture talks about our hearts being first purified, our souls being purified in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Having a heart that's been cleansed, loving God, and then we can love each other as He would have us to. Because when we have purified hearts, it'll create a desire to have fellowship. It creates a desire to have fellowship with God, creates a desire to have fellowship with His people. It also creates a desire to reach out to the lost, that they can be saved. This verse also talks about being obedient to the Word of God. His Word is not grievous. We don't see it. We see it for our good, not for keeping us from enjoying life. But we do things God's way, and we find a blessing. We're filled with the Spirit of God. We walk in the Spirit, and we can't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Our flesh can't have its way. We have overcoming power. We have direction for our lives. And then be sincere. It is evident by the sincere love we have for the brethren. Our love for God is evident by that love we have for the brethren. It's earnest love. It's real love. It's more than just words. It's also by kindness and showing it. You know, by this shall the world know that you're my disciples. It's a testimony for God to the world. It's a love that's pure, and it's a love that's on fire. And I was thinking of our relationships. If they're that way, we can all part without regrets. Like Dan shared of, we look at it as a loved one going on before us. It's more like a picture of a ship. They're parting. They're leaving the port. It's a time of sadness because we won't see them again until. It's a time of sadness. But, you know, on that departure, the question in my mind and heart is, how are my relationships? How are my relationships? Will I live with regret? Why we live with regret? First Peter 4, 8 through 11 tells us, gives us a good picture of brotherhood, a love for the brothers. And above all things, verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so this minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then he goes on to say that, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But he says to rejoice. And when trials come, let's rejoice. Let's not look at the avenue that it came. Oftentimes, that's where our focus goes, as we look at the avenue that it came. Whether it's a brother or a sister or whatever it is, we focus on the avenue instead of embracing it and looking at God. What is it that I can learn? What do you want to change in my heart and life? And I'm not saying that it's the easiest thing to do, because it's not. We still live in this body of flesh. And so there's a war that happens. But let's walk in the Spirit that the flesh doesn't win. Some ways of showing our love for our brethren. It says, here this verse says, to have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Charity shall cover a multitude of sins. You know, if we have his or her best interest in mind, we have the picture of covering, not repeating a matter that doesn't need to be repeated. Someone comes to you and shares a struggle, or maybe confesses sin, and it doesn't need to be repeated. Love is going to cover that. Love is going to cover that. It won't repeat. Because if it does repeat, then it separates friends as well. Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." Proverbs 17:9 says, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." You ever see that done? That's so easily done when people that repeat a matter and they separate friends. They come over here and get information, go over here and tell the person that was a friend to him. They separate friends. There's no love there. There is no love there. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, "Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." That the picture that we have of cover, to cover and beareth all things, it has a picture to roof over. Gives us a picture that we don't go and spread abroad, but that we have love, we roof over. It doesn't mean that we see sin and we just cover it. Don't say nothing. No, we can still do our duty and go to that person and say, "Hey, what about this concern?" Those types. I'm not excluding us doing our Christian responsibilities, but those things that people are struggling with and you're helping them wrestle through, broadcast it and see if it'll bring good fruit. It won't. It'll destroy relationships. Love will cover that. Love has other people's best interest in mind. Try to see each situation as Christ giving an opportunity for someone. The opposite of covering is to spread abroad. You know, and James tells us about that tongue that nobody can tame. And it's full of deadly poison. We bless God. We bless God, even the Father. We curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And I was thinking of that verse, and our tongue, we can use it to bless God or curse men. We can encourage people or we can discourage people. And you know, I know that it says that no man can tame it, but there's nothing too big for the Spirit of God. If we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the Scripture tells us. That tells me that if we walk in the Spirit of God, that we can have, through the Spirit, we can have control of what comes out of our mouth. God can control that. Because if we don't allow the Spirit of God to control that, that's worldly. So this burden came because it's just of wrestlings in my own heart, and I was just contemplating the how fragile life is, and how that we are left with memories when others get called home, and what will those memories be? You know, as we're talking about the tongue here, and what you are repeating, is it from a pure heart? Is it from a fervent love? Is it from a sincere love? Is that having the best, does it have the best interest in others? You know, as we think of challenges, trials, sometimes they come. Many times they come through brotherhood. There's other things in life that create them. And we have a choice in what we do and how we respond. We have a choice in whether we repeat matters. You know that brother when he stumbles or he falls and you tell somebody about it instead of walking alongside of that brother? One's love and one isn't. You know that brother that seems to always be getting under your skin by making you getting under your skin by unreasonable choices that he makes sometimes, maybe rash decisions, and you get frustrated with him. Love is patient and love is kind. Sometimes when people do things, our tendency is to look at the person and put blame on that person. I act or I feel this way because of that person. I want to encourage us to not blame that person, but take ownership. That doesn't excuse that person if he has done wrong. But take ownership of what's going on in here. Take ownership of what's going on in here. Because if we don't, then everything is everyone else's fault. And I feel the way I do. I'm bitter because of because I never take ownership. Trials will either produce something more precious than gold or bitterness. Usually it produces those two things. And the choice is really ours. So let's not blame others, but let's take ownership. Speaking of taking ownership, because you have a problem in your heart, whether it's a problem of aught with another brother, maybe it's a problem of lust, take ownership. Maybe there is needs for change in another individual, but take ownership when it's in here. I've heard of an account where a man once he was struggling with lust, and him and his wife went to the other couple, and he just confessed that he's struggling with lust and that type of thing, and then he just exclaimed how free he was. And I was sitting there kind of bewildered, thinking, what about her? Why did you need to go do that? Those types of things, we need to take ownership. The problem's here. The problem's here. If you struggle with lust and you've got a problem, find a brother. Find somebody to help you walk through that. Don't go and put the weight of your problem on someone else when the other individual actually was walking uprightly, in all honesty. Take ownership for the things of your heart. We can blame as many people as we want, but we need to take ownership. Sometimes we have a hard time loving brothers because of their rash decisions and getting themselves into all kinds of predicaments. But you know, I was thinking of Abraham. He evidently loved his nephew. Lot evidently had a special place in his heart. He interceded for him. He never wrote him off. He's like, well, it was his fault. He went to that, you know, heathen place. But he interceded for him. I was thinking, isn't there an account where Lot lost everything in a battle? I was thinking he did, and Abraham took his servants, and they recovered it all. I can't remember the account. It might be in Genesis 14, Dan said. But you can read that. My point in saying is Abraham fought for him. He recovered his goods. Lot meant something to him, even though he could have just wrote him off in all reality. He could have said he's getting what he deserved. Those were his choices. Those were poor choices. He could have said it was his coveting heart. You know, he looked over and he saw all the watered plains and set his eyes towards Sodom. an easier life. Abraham never did that. He never wrote him off in that way. He never said he is a religious man who has made worldly choices and is associating with evil men. He still interceded for Lot. You know, that describes Lot quite well when you read the account. What is our response? Is that my response to a brother that I get impatient with, that just don't get it, that always finds himself in a predicament? Let's have hearts full of love and compassion. And you know, just because a brother always finds himself there, that doesn't limit you to not walk alongside and help steer that thing in the right direction. Sometimes maybe a strong word of truth needs to be spoken to help steer in the right way. Love will speak truth. Love will have the other's best interest in mind. I recently heard of an account where it was it's in another congregation, but this brother, I was just very encouraged with this brother's testimony of something that he was being misunderstood and things weren't going well, and he decided to step back, to not every time he was questioned and people were digging into his life. And it seemed like, you know, I heard the testimony from some of his ministry and from him, so, but it seemed like it wasn't in a right way. But he decided not to fight back. So he took a step back. And I was encouraged with that. Even though the accusations, they're still rolling, they're unfounded. He's taken the highway of holiness. He's taken God's approach in being respectful. He's not fighting back. He's keeping a right heart that testifies the power of God. And he said, yeah, it's a struggle. Sometimes it can be a struggle to have a right heart, but he's chose that's what he's going to do. And I was just thinking how it testifies to me of the power of God in someone's life. So maybe for us, sometimes we find maybe somebody is, you know, always on our case about something. Just don't resent it, because that's what we can very quickly do, start resenting people. We start holding them out here at arm's length. Instead, allow God to have his way in your heart. Allow God to help you find an appreciation for that person. For that person. There's something in that person's life you can surely appreciate. Because God is wanting to bring something more precious than gold out of your life. Even if that brother's wrong, that sister's wrong, your wrong, you and my wrong response doesn't make it right. All we have now is two wrongs. If I respond wrong, and we all know this. I think my mother used to say it, that two wrongs never make it right. And it's just a simple truth, but oftentimes we want to defend ourselves. We want to make sure we're heard. But you know, we have Jesus for an example. He didn't always make sure he was heard. He didn't stand up. He could have called 12 legions of angels and wiped everybody out, but he didn't do it. I was thinking of a testimony for God. For him to be glorified by his creation on a choice of our own through faith is more precious than gold. It is priceless. Even the angels in the spirit world are watching and are amazed at the glory God gets by right choices we make. It's a testimony to the spirit world. And I marvel at that. My son shared that with me earlier. The thought of the angels and spirit world watching our lives, what we're going to do. And I was thinking of a people group made up of from diverse lifestyles, and we come together by the Spirit of God, and we walk and live in harmony. That's mind-boggling, because the world can't produce that. The world has all kinds of programs to try to produce that. They can't get it done. They've tried. But when the Spirit of God comes, and He can hit in various different people, there's men in here that were very religious. There's men in here that were drugs and drunks. There's men in here that were involved in all kinds of things. And God touches those hearts, and they can blend and walk in harmony. That is a marvelous thing. And I do want to encourage us to keep that in your mind as you go through life. It spoke to my heart and life as sometimes when we face trials and challenges, we can inside or to ourselves just mutter and carry on and get frustrated. And I was thinking of the thought of the angels are beholding that. Nobody else is around. The angels see that. The spirit world sees that. They see your response to everything. I think Amos S. shared something to that effect down there. I wasn't there. But I think he used the picture of Job, because that's really who that ministered to. That whole account was to this in the spirit world as a testimony for God. But as you think about going through life, just think, you know, yeah, God sees you, but He's jealous of a testimony. He's jealous of a testimony even when you think no one else sees you. We can show our love to our brethren by being hospitable, ungrudgingly. When we have received a gift from God, and He says to minister the same, He calls us to be good stewards of that gift of God. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We may have varying gifts in our life, but the love of God, we can extend to others in many ways in our own abilities that God gives us. We can show the grace of God. Don't hide it, because God requires accountability. He says it's you're as a steward with this gift. So do something with it, because it's all for His glory. You know, John, 1 John 2, 9 through 11 says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." And it's a very dangerous, slippery slope when we are struggling to love a brother. Because the more that thing grows and you don't make reconciliation in here and with the brother, the more that grows, the more dark our path goes. We're walking in a way that says darkness has blinded our eyes. And you'll see the choices you're making. You can notice those choices, or others for sure can. 1 John 3, 14 through 17 says, "We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" That's a simple outward way of showing the love of God. you see needs, and we just, we don't want to touch those. The world knows that we are the people of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. If we can walk in tune with God, his commandments aren't grievous. We can love his commandments. We love his people. It's a testimony to the world around us, and again, to the spirit world. It's a testimony. It speaks loud. And there's overcoming power in the love of God. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And there's overcoming power. And I want to encourage us to have a pure heart, to, as trials come, to try not to look and put a face to them, but rather look at God. Look at God and say, God, what's for me? Help me to love. Help me to embrace. I know it's easier said than done. I understand that. But it is the heart of God. Because if we can go through life and hate a brother and claim eternal life, we're deceiving ourselves. I read these scriptures. I didn't alter them. That's what it says. We're lying to ourselves if we can go through life and hate a brother and think that we have eternal life. We're fooling ourselves. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And so I want to leave us with those thoughts, to love God, to love the brotherhood. You know, sometimes when we come together as a brotherhood and we unite our hearts, we may not see everything eye to eye, but walking in love and harmony for the glory of God, it's a beautiful testimony for God. Do it for him. The question I have is, how am I responding to the hurts that come from others? How am I responding from hurts that come from others? And so my desire for all of us, that we would grow more in his image. Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless each one of you.